Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who were on earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now that happened as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds have the air, have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Foxes have a hole, the birds have a nest, but the Son of God, he has no place to lay his sweet hand. I'm sorry.
That's okay. She started reading my sermon.
This is Nancy, and she's my dear friend. And if, what would I have done today without her? God is so good to me, you have no idea. I read that scripture. Think about that. Foxes have a hole, birds have a nest, but the Son of God, he had no place to lay his sweet head. All I can think of is, I don't know about you guys, but Christmas time, Harry Belafonte. I don't know about your parents, but my mother, you didn't open a present till after breakfast, and we'd heard Harry Belafonte sing. Foxes have a hole, the birds have a nest. The Son of God, he ain't got nowhere to lay his sweet head. And y'all know the chorus, right? Jehovah, hallelujah, the Lord will provide. Jehovah, hallelujah, the Lord will provide. Imagine that. The very Son of God had nowhere to lay his head. In today's day and age, the Jesus Christ Evangelical Association would be a very small group of people, 12 people, part of his association, right? He walked around with 12 individuals. Those individuals were known to us as his 12 disciples. But then you read on and you read about Tabitha, who's a disciple. Tabitha was a disciple. She Think of Unison Syntyche. Is that how you say it? They had a church. They were disciples of Christ. It's amazing when you think of that. But they never really knew him the way the disciples knew him. It was very different, wasn't it? Now, they were with him, and they still didn't understand what he was here for. Shall we call down fire from heaven? You know, the Samaritans were kind of mad because his face was toward Jerusalem. His heart, his call, was toward Jerusalem. So they wanted nothing to do with him because they were of a multicultural, kind of like we are now. We're multicultural, aren't we? There are people here. How many of you have Swedish heritage? How many of you have Irish heritage? How many of you have German heritage? Wow. How many of you have African American heritage? That would be me, right? God has a multicultural for a reason. It wasn't separate from the Samaritans, was it? It's just that that was not the Samaritans' first religion. They were mixed. They were Jews and Gentiles. And that made them social outcasts. But Jesus didn't care, did he? He went there anyway. Well, maybe we think certain parts of our city, oh, that's the projects, don't go over there. I mean, not that Big Flats has a whole lot of projects. But, you know, it's true. I mean, even in my town, I come from a town in Massachusetts called Hingham. It's a very wealthy town. Let my pastor in the Baptist church tell it, we had no hungry in Hingham. We laughed in his face. Because we knew that the elderly, sorry, I'm going to move this up just a little bit. Sorry, here we go. We knew that the elderly in our town on a fixed income were just that. They were on a fixed income. One out of every three people in the United States last year was food insecure. Wow. And yet, Jesus even met that need, didn't he? Earlier in this chapter, it was the feeding of the 5,000. Earlier in this chapter was the Mount of Transfiguration. Earlier in this chapter was where Peter said, I know you are the Christ, the Son of God. It was a huge revelation to the disciples. They knew he was pretty good, but Peter said it. He said it the way he heard it. He knew it. He knew that that was the Son of God, and he was determined to say what was on his heart. I'm a little like Peter today. I'm determined to say what's on my heart. God has given me a message today for you. And I'm going to try not to do three sermons like I feel like I did the last time when I went back and listened to it. Sorry. But one of the things God showed me was there were people that were Jesus' disciples that weren't necessarily his intimate friends. It didn't mean that they were bad people. It didn't mean that they weren't worthy. He just had a very small group of people that were truly committed to the nth degree, I would like to say, like went beyond. And he put it this way. Now, this is a hard one for me. You are my friends if you do what I say. Ouch. Jesus said a whole lot of stuff I don't want to do. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. But because I love him, I do what he says. That's a hard one. Because I can't always do that. And I find myself having to repent a lot. Just because this tends to go before my thoughts do sometimes. As I walk with God every day, I see some spectacular things. I really do. I mean, and I shared that the last time I was here because I had a spectacular childhood. I had spectacular need. God had the ability to be God for me. I mean, I was born legally blind and my eyes just gradually got better. As I said, God, I don't want to wear these Coke bottle glasses. I have 20/10 vision now, and I wear these for reading and only reading. And I keep telling my doctor I need glasses, and he says, no, you don't. You're getting old, just get some magnifiers. I'm like, but I can't thread a needle. He said, you need a +3 for that. By the way, they don't sell +3 in New York. I found that out last week. When I went to go buy some cheaters, you know, they don't sell them, prescription only. So I'll be driving over to Pennsylvania to get my cheaters, because I don't really need to go to an eye doctor for that when they sell them at the dollar store. we're learning, right? But one of the things Jesus has shown me on this journey, and each one of us, we're on a journey. And we choose who our friends are. We choose our intimate friends, don't we? I've chosen Nancy. I've chosen Mother Teresa. I have. These are people I've chosen. I choose my friend who's sitting over there looking down at her book that thinks I've forgotten her. But I have not forgotten her. Priscilla, I have chosen you. These are people who come to my house. We have tea. We talk about each other's children and what they're doing. We talk about each other's children and how we don't see them and we miss them. We talk about how I might want to throw one down a flight of stairs, but I won't do it. This week especially. Parenting is a challenge. And some of these ladies have been through it before me and have seen it on the other side. And I can sit at their feet and I can glean knowledge from my elders. I need them. I mean, I have to tell you, I worked in a nursing home, and one of the things I learned was, even when they can't talk, I still need them. Even when they don't know my name anymore, I still need them. I need that love. I need to know that they're still here. My mother is failing. I would venture to say my mother is dying. She's barely eating and she's sleeping most of the day. But when I go there and I see her and I hold her and I just hold her hand, even if she's sleeping, I still need her. It may just be a moment, but my mother taught me something that is amazing. Because my mother was an intimate friend with God. My mother has dementia. Go in her room and talk about Jesus. She's back. Like, she's just back. She was a missionary to Africa. And she did not care what anyone said. When she laid hands on the sick, they were going to recover. My mother has gifts of healings for cancer. She lays hands on people with cancer, even now demented. And they get healed, because it has nothing to do with her. The gifts of healing, talked about in Romans 12, have to do with Jesus. They're gifts God gave to the church. It isn't anything that I do when I lay hands on somebody that heals them. It is the hand of God. Last fall, fall before, my brother got congestive heart failure. And he died. And I'm never the sister called, but my sister was in Aruba. So I got called. And I walked in, and the Lord spoke to me. I mean, clear. I hear the voice of God. Some people don't. It's okay. I hear the voice of God in scripture when I read it. I hear the voice of God through Nancy when she talks to me. I hear the voice of God in a lot of ways. But this time, I heard him unmistakably clear. He doesn't know me. He's going to go to hell. Is that okay with you? No, that's not okay with me. I get one brother. He gets one life. A lot of people believe in reincarnation. I do not. Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die, and then the judgment. So I really wanted my brother to get it. But my brother was a dark character. He sold drugs. He took as many as he could. And it's racked, he's younger than me, and it's racked his body. I mean, it's just racked his body. And the Lord said, he doesn't know me. Is that okay with you? And I said, you're God. You do something. He said, I asked you. This room full of people here. I don't know them. I look like a weirdo. He doesn't know me. He'll go to hell. I mean, it was loud. So the doctor looked at me and said, are you ready to call it? And I said, can I have a moment alone with my brother? And so they took their claws and held them to their chest, and they stood back. And I walked over to him, and I grabbed his feet, and they thought I was going to say goodbye. And I said, I rebuke the spirit of death off your body in the name of Jesus. Get back in your body. You are too young to die. This is not your time. And my brother, who had no life in him, I mean, they had used everything to try to revive him. And he just couldn't breathe. He was just a dish rag. All of a sudden, he went, and the doctor said, I have seen everything now. And I looked at him, and I said, I don't know you. I don't know any of you in here. And I don't care if you think I'm a weirdo. I get one brother. One. I don't get another chance at him. My brother came to Christ. He still won't come to church. But he watches Joyce Meyer every day. And he watches Joel Osteen every day. And my brother walks sweeter. People are like, what happened to you? He's like, my sister prayed for me. And that's his attitude too. It's like my sister did it. I'm like, it isn't me, it's Jesus. But my brother thinks I can do anything now. I said, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. It's not me. Nothing about me can raise the dead. I am a vessel. I'm like Balaam's ass. Numbers 22nd chapter. Balaam beat his ass. Did you know that that's biblical? No. not in the concept that we might use it, but it means that God can use a donkey. So God can use me. I'm nothing. You know, my righteousness, the Bible tells it straight, is as filthy rags. It doesn't get any worse than that. It just doesn't get any worse than that. But because I'm a friend of God, because I press through, I read his word every day, even if it's just a snippet. Don't laugh. As a young mother, how many of you have had toddlers before? I hid my Bible in the toilet because it was the only room with a door that locked. And they'd be knocking on the door, Mommy, you in there? I'm fine, honey, I'll be out in a minute. My daughter would say, I don't want to come in there, you've been in there too long. But she didn't know that that was my quiet time. That was my space. I had 5 minutes at a time. And with toddlers, you can't leave them alone any longer than that. One day I came out and my son was trying to climb out a window and it was on the third floor. I'm like, no! They're children. They learn how to be God's friend by your example. I would be singing and worshiping and singing hymns while I'm doing the dishes. And now my children enter in all on their own. My daughter writes worship music. She didn't learn that at my feet. That's the Lord giving her creativity. That's God giving her ability. God wants to be your friend. And it's as simple as doing what he says. Now, a disciple is one who's come to Christ. How many of you have come to Christ? How many of you have asked Jesus, come in my heart, be with me. Train me up in the way that I should go. Help me. Lots of us. That makes you a disciple. How many of you want to be his friend? Some of you are scared of being his friend. I'm going to be honest with you. With some of the things he's asked me to do, I'd be scared. But I've learned that it isn't my ability. It's my availability. I'm available to Jesus to do what he asks of me. Sometimes he asks me to do things that are way out of the box. Praying for my brother, way out of the box. My brother doesn't even like me to lay hands on him when he's awake. He'll let my children pray for him, but he would say, don't pray for me. And I'm like, okay. And so I just touch his foot and talk to him. He didn't know I was laying hands on him. I don't have to be praying, oh, babbity, 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 ba. I just walk up to people and just, how you doing? And I'm just rubbing their arm. They have no idea I'm praying for them. God has a plan for your life. What is your journey? Where's he taking you? Do you want to be his friend? Or are you happy just being a disciple? Some people are happy waiting tables. Did you know that? The person that took Judas's place, Judas chose to walk away from Jesus. Now remember this though, his friends were intimate with him, right? So when Judas betrayed him, he was close enough to him to betray him with a kiss. When you realize that you are that close to God, that his will is more important than yours, that's a new place, isn't it? Because we go to church every Sunday. We could just be churchgoers. Let me tell you something. I'm going to put her on the spot because she doesn't know I'm going to do this to you. Priscilla is a friend of God, let me tell you. There's an intimacy between her and Jesus. And it's not just seen by me. That woman's hand is constantly out there doing for God's people. She's at the pantry. She's serving. You serve with Meals on Wheels? Not Meals on Wheels, but the nutrition center. She's down at the nutrition center. She is waiting tables. Do you know that when Judas was kicked out of the kingdom because he walked away, that's the person they chose. They chose somebody that was actively waiting tables and doing what God asked to be one of the 12 disciples. They chose Matthias because Matthias was taking care of the widows, taking care of the orphans, waiting on tables. He was doing the things that God wanted him to do. He was truly a disciple. So when they chose someone else to serve tables, the lot fell to Matthias because he was totally about his father's business already. Jesus sees you. He sees the little things you do. He sees you bring cakes to people when people die. He sees you make sandwiches when people are hurting. He sees you bring food to somebody that might not have some. You don't even know the things that God has taken to your account and said, what a good person you are. He sees you when you make a pocketbook for somebody that's a friend of yours and you go out of your way to make it with fabric that she will love. That is thoughtful on a whole nother level. I'm not like that. That does not come natural to me, but it comes natural to my friends. So I sit at their feet and I'm learning that. That's why God calls us the body of Christ, because your iron sharpens my iron. It makes me a better person because you walk with God in front of me. I'm changed because I've been to Big Flats. I will never be the same again. Who would have thought a tiny little town in the Twin Tiers could change my life so remotely? We went back to Massachusetts and said, why did we ever live here? We've only been here for 6 months. We are such New Yorkers. See, back home I would have been a New Yorker. I would have been such a New Yorker. But we've been here and these people have touched my heart. They have changed me. You know, the Bible says that we are changed in the presence of a holy God. Rubbing elbows with you, and excuse this expression, you people, not an expression we like to use in the African-American community, but rubbing elbows with all of you has changed my heart. I would like you this week to spend time rubbing elbows with Jesus. Just pick a chapter a day. Start with Luke 9. Do you realize that this chapter has everything in it? I mean, Jesus predicts his own death. It goes from the disciples wanting to call down fire from heaven on the Samaritans, to the Mount of Transfiguration, to Jesus healing a boy who's demon-possessed, and they keep trying to throw him into the fire, and then the animals, you know, it goes off into the pigs, and then people wanted to kill him. Jesus was at his most popular and at his least popular, all in the same chapter. One chapter, just read it. Just read it. And don't even read the whole chapter. Read one of the parables a day. I think there's enough to get you through the whole week. just with Luke 6. There's that many stories. And then think about them. Where are you going with this, God? This is a lot of journey in one chapter. And yet, the disciples were forever changed. From the beginning of this to the end of this, you will be forever changed by spending time with the Master who made you. You are his hands and feet. He wants you to be his intimate friend. I promise you, it is not a boring journey at all. I'm still flabbergasted with how he uses me, because I was the Ellie Mae Clampett of Hingham, Massachusetts. I did critters and I did babies. And now I can add raising the dead to that. Not because of me, because of who I believe. He's so real. Father God, today I ask that you capture our hearts. Captivate us, Lord. Transform us into the mighty men and women of God that you've called us to be. Change our hearts, O God. Make them new. Thank you for this time, and thank you for this opportunity to be your intimate friend. Thank you for allowing us to be your disciples, to do your works in this place. Remind us every day how precious we are in your sight. Remind us every day that we can do nothing outside of you and outside of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.